From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. All this week, we're revisiting some of our favorite conversations. And today, amid the popularity of a new Netflix docuseries called How to Change Your Mind, which is based on a book of the same name by writer and journalist Michael Pollan, we're revisiting a conversation about psychedelic drugs, both the consciousness-expanding possibilities and the potential therapeutic benefits. But first, the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services begins describing its mission as to, quote, protect children who are reported to be abused or neglected and to increase their family's capacity to safely care for them. Abuse and neglect, two words that have been joined together into a single phrase. But should that be the case? Abuse is malevolent, but if you want to dig into cases of neglect, you'll often find poverty at the core. And remember, DCFS says it wants to increase families' capacity to safely care for their children. Whether they're doing so is a question at the heart of an investigation from the Southern Illinoisan and ProPublica that was published earlier this year. At the time, I spoke with one of the reporters behind the story, Molly Parker, who grew up in Southern Illinois and is a reporter for the paper, The Southern Illinoisan. Because this conversation is on tape, we won't be taking calls, but you can always let us know what you thought or suggest future topics by emailing talk@21stshow.org, talk@21stshow.org, or tweet us at 21st Show. Molly, welcome back to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Brian. I love being on the 21st Show.
We love having you. And I should say you reported this with Vernal Coleman, who could not be with us today. So, Molly, let's begin. Your investigation centers around this pattern of recurrence, which is sort of a term of art within the child welfare system. Can you talk a bit about what it means and how common it is?
Yeah, recurrence is sort of a wonky term that just indicates and there's different ways of measuring it, but essentially how often a parent or caregiver is cycling through investigations or a child. There's an official definition that the state uses, which is a child who is the subject, you know, the victim of substantiated maltreatment twice within a year. But other academics look at it more broadly, you know, how often like the same family unit may be investigated over 5, 10 years, or even a lifetime. And, you know, our data folks, that the kind folks at ProPublica, Haru and Vernal, who are not with us, but contributed immensely to this project. You know, we all looked at this from a caregiver level over about 3 years was the data we obtained. And we were all, I suppose it's not shocking in retrospect, but we were shocked to find that huge numbers of families are repeated over and over and over and over again. And so much of DCFS's work is returning to the same family multiple times. It's not a case of like, oh, we have this abuse and we're removing the children or this neglect situation and we've corrected the conditions or helped this family overcome them. In fact, just a huge percentage of the caseloads when investigators are called out, they already know this family really well.
How does that compare to other states? Is Illinois an outlier or is this part of a national picture?
There's a real dearth of research around long-term recurrence. You know, this idea that we looked at over the course of many years, how often families have accumulated, you know, 5, 10, 15, even 20 investigations we've seen. That was not uncommon. It's not super common either, but it is not uncommon that there are some families who have been investigated every year over the course of their child raising years, which is pretty incredible. Not all the cases are indicated, but when you talk to parents, that's just a really scary and invasive thing. Even though the agency, you know, is there to help, that is part of their mission, it is just still very scary because an ultimate outcome is that your kids can be removed or you can be forced to participate in services you may not feel like you need. You know, they can take you into court through the state's attorney's office. So it is really a frightening prospect when DCFS shows up for a lot of parents. We did find that the federal government, the Children's Bureau, tracks short-term recurrence. They track it over 6 months and over 12 months. In Illinois, when you look at that short-term recurrence rate, is among the highest in the nation, somewhere up there with New York and some other large states, and has been consistently for many, many years. And Illinois' recurrence rate is also on the rise. So a couple of troubling trends going on there.
So what are some of the things that contribute to families being investigative, right? Or having their children taken away multiple times again and again?
it does seem like the most common cause of children entering foster care by the data is neglect, not abuse. And so we really tried to stress that in the story. We hear all these cases, you know, every other month or so, it seems like there's this really tragic situation where a child has died, often of a physical abuse situation or an egregious neglect situation. And those cases make the news. And I think they paint a picture that most parents cycling through investigations are among the worst of the worst, or could be that they are the ones that, you know, the children who could die next. And I think that is, you know, those stories are real and they deserve scrutiny, but they're often in Illinois and elsewhere across the nation, they are as rare as they are tragic. Most families are being investigated over and over and over again for neglect. And often, according to many, many experts we talk to, including people who have run the Children's Bureau and the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, over both parties, said that poverty is really a root cause. That when you dig down deep enough, that families are living in poverty, they are struggling, and then other things start happening in the lives of families. And certainly there are other factors, things like substance use disorders, untreated mental illness, that can obviously compound these situations. And that's not to say that middle income and rich people don't have these same stressors in their lives. So, you know, lots of people do have mental illness and substance use disorders. But if you have the means, it's easier to access treatment. It's easier to access childcare, because abusing substances is not a reason to take a child if you are covered, you know, if you have a babysitter while you're going out and drinking too much, for instance. That in and of itself is not a reason to remove a child. But if you don't have the means to, you know, get yourself help again, or just make sure your children are in a safe situation, then you're more likely to be reported and more likely to cycle through investigations.
Well, maybe this is a good opportunity to bring up one of the central characters in your reporting in this story. You follow the story of Alan, is it Schott's family? Can you talk
That's
a bit
correct,
about yeah, talk about their situation and how all of this ultimately affects his children?
Yeah, Alan Schott is a young father with two precious little girls, and he has struggled a lot of his life. He was in DCFS care himself as a child, and we definitely see that these cycles can be generational. He has his daughters have been in foster care now 3 times, and between him and his partner, they've been investigated by DCFS at least 10 times, about a dozen times. Only ever has the department indicated them or found that there was some reason to believe something was amiss for cases of neglect, never physical abuse. Certainly they live in poverty. You know, the mother has lost her parental rights. There are court cases that involve substance misuse for both of them, and certainly for the mother. But he is a father who has tried to complete the coursework that has been given to him. This last time when the girls were taken, they were in foster care for 5 months over an allegation that started over a neglect allegation. And ultimately, a court dismissed his case and said that the state had not proven that he had neglected them. But it's still very, very disruptive to their lives. And so we were just asking questions about, and a lot of people, advocates and others, are questioning whether the system as it's set up nationally, and Illinois really is no different than most states in how its policing agency works. Its child welfare agency is primarily a policing agency to protect children, but they just are inundated with hundreds of thousands of calls, most of which are not substantiated. And then most of those that are substantiated are for neglect and not the physical or sexual abuse, which is obviously something we have to protect children from. I think there's just lots of questions about how this works.
Yeah, well, let me take a moment to remind listeners, we're speaking with Molly Parker, who's a reporter at the Southern Illinoisan and collaborated with some reporters from ProPublica on a piece looking at DCFS and the recurrence of neglect cases, patterns where families are in the system again and again and again. And you were just talking about DCFS being inundated with calls. And the director, Mark Smith, said the mandates for teachers and social workers and other what are known as mandated reporters to report maltreatment accusations are, in Smith's words, very aggressive. Can you talk about that? And I mean, is that, are they too aggressive, perhaps?
I think when you talk to these mandated reporters, and this is a tough thing to know what to do, because there's always the case that somebody didn't report that ends up being a tragedy. But I do think that it's really interesting. During the pandemic, we had sort of a panic that kids weren't in school. Teachers are the primary reporters, that they're mandated reporters, and they're the leading reporters to DCFS, and that there would just be this huge drop off in cases. And actually, the University of Illinois, which studies these things, found that there wasn't. Teachers are a leading reporter, but many of their cases are not substantiated. And I don't know all the ins and outs of why that is, but I just, having looked into this and realizing how much poverty is a factor, and talking to some teachers, even in cases around here, on background, I can tell you that they often believe that calling DCFS is, if they know a family's in poverty, they may not know everything going on. They know the family's struggling, and that the kids are showing up perhaps, you know, not as clean as they wish they were, or without, you know, proper clothing or coats in the winter. They call DCFS hoping that, well, I think a part of it is just like, I don't know what to do, but this agency is the one who's supposed to do it. But I think where the disconnect is DCFS doesn't have the tools either to help many of these families that are struggling in the depths of poverty. And that's not necessarily the fault of the investigators, right? Like, their primary goal is to make sure that a kid is safe. And all of this that happens afterwards is secondary. And the system really just isn't set up well to make sure people have housing. You know, we just have a housing shortage. It's not set up well to make sure that people are not, there are, like, there's a short-term emergency fund. Most families, I believe the average payment is like $1,000, and that's a big deal. It could help you out of a crisis, a one-time crisis. But rent in Chicago, for many people, that's going to cover it. It's going to eat that up in 1 month, right? So for people with ongoing issues that are living in poverty for whatever reason, it's just not enough to stabilize them over the long term. And so I think it's not surprising when you know that these same families are reported over and over and over again by the people in their lives who care for them, like teachers and nurses and others who, you know, they don't have the tools, and they hope that the call they make, I think most of the time, is, you know, A, covering their bases because it's the law that they report it, and B, hoping, well, I don't know what to do, so maybe this agency will know what to do.
This reminds me a lot of the conversations we've been having for years now about, you know, people having mental health crisis. Who do you call? You end up calling the police, which often doesn't work out so well. It's not the police are not really equipped to deal with that. They're not mental health counselors. So the
Very
same thing
similar.
Here. Yeah. So, and that, I mean, this strikes me as we're coming to the end of our conversation here. There are a number of areas of government where we spend money cleaning up after bad things happen rather than investing upfront to prevent them from happening, right? It's true of criminal justice. It's true of people with mental health problems. Is it true of the child welfare system?
I mean, absolutely. There's conversations out there, just like the conversations about, you know, quote unquote, defund the police, which most people actually wanted to just see more services put into social services to do the things that you're talking about to head off mental health crises and things like that. There's the exact same conversation going on in child welfare. The system is overrepresented by Black children. It's, you know, overrepresented by people in poverty in rural parts of Illinois, unquestionably. So we know that poverty is the root cause of much of this. And there are no absolutes. I mean, it's possible to have an egregious neglect case that's intentional. And of course, like, there are situations where that would warrant an investigation and removal. But most of these families are not the monsters behind closed doors that the worst case scenarios might make you think they are.
Last question. You had a companion piece, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, but looking at these twin ideas of abuse and neglect and what we lose when we conflate them. So briefly, what, in about a minute, maybe minute and a half, what do we lose when we conflate abuse and neglect, the two things that DCFS is charged with investigating?
Yeah. And if you read that article, I think you'll see that idea is largely attributed to Jess McDonald. And a lot of people in Illinois may recognize that name. He was one of the longest serving DCFS directors, because most of them have only lasted a year or so over the last 15 years. He served for quite a number of years in the 90s and early 2000s under Jim Edgar. And this is, interestingly, you know, a Republican saying this, someone who's saying, we've gotten this wrong. In America, we just say abuse and neglect. And then you see that the horror stories about the kids who were, you know, killed despite, you know, DCFS coming in and out of the homes, raising major questions about why somebody didn't do something. Those cases, again, are pretty darn rare, even though they are terribly tragic. And so I think that it is an important question. Again, there are cases of egregious neglect. There are no absolutes in child welfare. There are cases of abuse that probably also stem from the stresses of poverty. But again, we are largely talking about two different things. And that's not to say neglect isn't harmful. Children can be harmed and are harmed emotionally over the long term by neglect. And in effect by poverty, right? Like poverty is very harmful to families. And I think that if we really wanted to protect these children, we would remove far fewer children for neglect. It's like 90% of kids that are removed in Illinois is for neglect. Again, you can't maybe get that to zero, but you could certainly move the bar on that if you were to focus more on correcting the poverty conditions of the homes of families that you're repeatedly knocking on for DCFS investigations.
Well, Molly, thank you for sticking with journalism and being a reporter and being on watch in Southern Illinois. And thank you for coming on the 21st show to share your reporting with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
The story is The State Took His Kids Three Times and Three Times It Gave Them Back. It's by Molly Parker and Vernal Coleman and Haru Korine with ProPublica. Molly's with The Southern Illinoisan. More to come after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us.